Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God that is able to save our souls. Right now, we commit this time to you, God, to understand your word, walk in your word, be changed by your word into the image of your son, Jesus Christ, that we might have fellowship with you through him by the Holy Spirit. These are trying times that try man's souls, and we need the revelation and the visitation from Almighty God to stop these devils. These devils are irate, they're devious, and they're destructive. We need you, God, to come down here and walk through this place, through us, through the church, and confront this devil. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested in the flesh, to destroy the works of the devil. God, manifest yourself now. In Jesus' name I pray, and do a wondrous work to set the captives free. In Jesus' name, we thank you beforehand. Amen.
Okay, hello everybody and good evening. We're going to try to pour 5 gallons into a pint tonight as we deal with this subject matter. It's kind of, I won't call it complicated, but it is going to challenge your mind to think. You have to think. Like they used to tell the kids in the third grade, put your thinking caps on. Because you got to think your way through this one as we study the word, and then we marry the word to real life situations. We're going to deal with hip hop and arrested development tonight. Hip hop and arrested development. How these musical genres can be used to actually cripple your mind and arrest the functionalities in your mind. And I'm going to try to show you exactly how and why that's done to the human race. The devil wants us to be arrested in our development so that he can control us. So we'll have to understand why, what his purposes are, what we're up against, and how to fight against it. All right, let's get going here. Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. We thank you that the power of God is always available for the saints of God to be illuminated, to be revelated, to be brought up in righteousness, and to move out in a discourse with God that leads to eternal life. God, right now in the name of Jesus, we take authority over all the unseen forces of the devil. We bind the devil and cast him down from the minds of the hearers. Every demonic element that's trying to bind the people listening to my voice, in the name of Jesus, I call upon the blood of Jesus Christ to stymie your efforts to try to confuse minds. I nullify those arguments and contentions you have against the Word of God. I limit your access to thinking processes. And the blood of Jesus Christ stands against you. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and we love not our lives unto death. Right now, God, send this word through the airwaves by way of cyberspace, and let it impact the hearts of the hearers to make them free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're dealing with hip hop and arrested development. We could easily have called this rock and roll and arrested development. Country and Western and arrested development. There's a lot of different musical genres, but the most evident one today is hip hop. So we're going to just single out hip hop to show you how this works. But you can have any type of music that's worldly that can accomplish the same thing. But hip-hop, I believe, is more forceful and it's more direct as far as entry into the human mind and soul. So hip-hop is a good musical genre to focus in on. All right. Let's begin here. We're going to go through several different verses in the Bible. I always advise you and recommend that you get your Bible out. Get your pen and paper out. Study to show yourself approved, a workman or workwoman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth for yourself. You can't depend on anybody else to make it into heaven. You have to be accountable and responsible for you. It's an individual affair that cannot be faked. The fivefold ministry gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are given to perfect the saints so that the saints can do the work of the ministry. You are prepared for ministry when you deal with the Bible and you're taught Bible lessons. Get yourself a notebook dedicated to study of the Bible. Get a concordance. Get some good Bible commentaries. Get more than one version of the Bible. Get a good thesaurus and get a good dictionary. Get some tools to prepare yourself to be a student of the Bible. You can't keep walking around going to little sermon sessions on Sunday and Wednesday and become proficient in the Word of God, proficient enough to make it through these end-time scenarios that are unfolding right before our very eyes. You have to become a proficient studier of the Bible. Become a student by day and by night, studying to show yourself approved unto God, a workman needing not to be ashamed, able to rightly divide, rightly interpret, rightly draw from the Bible what the Bible says. Exegesis of the Bible is to draw out of the Bible the meaning of the context and the words in the Bible. You draw out of the Bible. Eisegesis is reading into the Bible your own personal opinions and how you see it. You want to be a complete Bible student that can perform exegetical processes that draw out of the Bible all the nutrients. See, the Bible is alive. It's just like organic whole food. It's alive. It's living whole food. When you ingest the Bible, you have to draw out all the vitamins, all the amino acids, all the different nutrients that it wants to going to sustain you in your spiritual life. When the Bible talks about meditating upon the word meditation in the Bible, in a Bible context, is talking about the same thing as a cow chewing its cud. How does a cow chew its cud? If you see a cow standing in a field somewhere, continually chewing all the time, a cow, what it does, it eats the grass and the hay and all the different things that cows eat, swallows the food, and they repetitively regurgitate it. Cud is the chewing of the different things they've eaten in order to draw all the nutrients out of them, breaking it up, they're chewing it up, and they keep chewing it up and mashing it up. They're getting all the proper nutrients out of that ingested food. Meditation is actually regurgitation of the Word of God in your mind so that you can think about it, ponder over it, run it through your system over and over again, and you'll find when you're meditating upon the Word of God that God begins to amplify, revelate, enhance. It'll begin to blow up, get broader. You'll see things you never fathomed before. The Bible will become alive and the scriptures will leap out at you because it's a living book. The Holy Ghost brings the Bible alive. This is why you must be baptized in the Holy Ghost to receive the revelation of Jesus Christ and not just data, dogma, and doctrine. You have to get the engrafted word down in you. And meditation is nothing more than regurgitation of that word to think about it, ponder over it, meditate upon it. Let it kind of boil and seethe down in your mind and soul until it becomes what? A part of you. The Bible becomes a living epistle in you. It becomes you and what you are. Remember, God is not interested in what you do. He changes who you are. I will say that again. The problem with mankind is not what you do. The problem is what you are. What you do is a reflection of what you are. You commit sin because you are a sinner. You do activities that are germane to your lifestyle. Everything down here on earth that's organic is defined by its life type, and particular life types do particular things. Dogs bark, fish swim, birds fly, etc., etc. Sinners sin. So God is after the root of the problem. The root of the problem is who and what we are. We do what we are. So God has enough sense that, hey, I'm not going to spend a lot of time hacking off limbs and leaves and all this stuff, because God knows if you cut all the branches and leaves and fruit off of a tree and the root system is still intact, it's just a matter of time before that tree is going to regrow the limbs, regrow the leaves, and regrow the fruit, because the axe was not laid to the root of the tree. Kill the root, the tree will die. Jesus cursed the fig tree, cursed the root of the fig tree, and the fig tree withered up. This is the organic power of the spoken word of God. He goes right to the heart of the problem. The problem is what we are, not what we do. Adam has a lineage of rebels and sinners, and the devil has designed programs to keep that sinful man alive, to stimulate him, to breathe into his loins, artificial stimuli to make sure the Adamic race stays alive, because Satan is God over the Adamic fallen race. So everything he does is designed to keep that Adamic race alive so God won't interact with a human. Everything the devil does, he wants to keep the Adamic race alive. That's his whole mission in life. That's his purpose for existence. He plans, he plots, he authorizes invasive forces to make sure the Adamic old nature stays alive and the flesh is continually stimulated. So we're going to deal with now how the devil uses hip-hop and other musical forms in order to keep you bound so you can't walk in freedom. He'll make you believe you're free all the time. You'll sit there bound. And I'm going to show you how he does this, hopefully. And I'll leave you with some tools that you can check out on your own time to see if I'm telling you the truth or not. Hey, I don't bear the responsibility of proof now. I lay it out here, and then you must go double check, triple check. You must study to show yourself approved. You must analyze. You must conceptualize. You must form your own solid rock definitions of truth from what you have studied. They can be based on teaching, but you won't ever believe anything until you personally have proven it for yourself. That's how you get it anchored inside of you. All right, let's begin here. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, this will be our foundation of scripture to jump off here, and then we'll let it roll from there. As we talk about hip-hop and arrested development. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 5. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. The song of fools. It is better to hear the rebuke, somebody to challenge you, somebody to tell you you're wrong, and they're wise, than for you to sit down and listen to songs that are sang by fools. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise, the chastening of the wise, the warning of the wise, reproofs of the wise. Somebody that gets on your last nerve, like I'm going to get on some of your last nerves tonight. It's better to hear that person than to hear a fool singing a song to you. Ecclesiastes 7:5. The Bible, your Bible says that. So here we have it now. God is saying, be careful what you hear. Be careful what you see. Because those two gateways are avenues into you and your personality, and they shape and mold you. What you see and what you hear is affecting you, sometimes infecting you, whether you know it or not. Now, before we get going here, I'm going to talk to you a minute about a guy that I want you to check out in your own time. This is one of those lessons where you'll have to verify and make sure it's all true. Just go and check it out for yourself in your own study time. I'm going to talk to you about a guy named Franz Mesmer. Franz Mesmer is his name. He was born May 23rd, 1734. He died March 5th, 1815. He was a German physician who had interest in astronomy, and he theorized that there was a natural energetic transference that occurred between all animated and inanimate objects that he called animal magnetism. So that's what you feel in the club when that pretty young thing walks in with the big brown eyes and the pretty figure and that long flowing hair, and she's batting those baby browns in your face. That's animal magnetism. Mesmer says this animal magnetism, this animal attraction, flows through all objects down here, whether they be animated or inanimate. He says this animal magnetism, and it was later became known as mesmerism. Mesmerism. So animal magnetism later came to be known as mesmerism. Getting words like mesmerize. Mesmerizing. Now we're going to deal with why this is significant in just a minute. In 1843, the Scottish physician James Braid proposed the term hypnosis for a technique derived from animal magnetism. Today, this is the usual meaning of mesmerism. So when somebody talks about being mesmerized, it's really referring to being hypnotized. So Mesmer came up with animal magnetism. James Braid in 1843 developed it further, and they began to call it hypnotism. Now, one branch of mesmerists, they are known as the imaginationist. Mesmerists were one branch were called imaginationists, and they put importance on the power of the imagination. Through auto-suggestion, the imagination is stimulated to create a virtual reality. In other words, you could actually hypnotize somebody like they do in Las Vegas when they have shows, and make them believe they're a chicken. Because in their minds, you created a virtual world. They have women stripped down butt naked in Las Vegas just from hypnosis. So now they'll tell them, look, through auto-suggestion, words spoken to them in a trance state, they tell them, now you're in the shower. It's very hot. You want to get into a cold shower. You have on so many clothes. And they'll begin to just take all their clothes off and strip down butt naked. Now, you know recently, Lady Gaga on stage stripped down bare butt naked, not a stitch of clothes on, turning her bare butt behind to the audience, butt naked on stage. Now, you have to be in an altered state of consciousness. You know that a stripper cannot be in her right mind and strip in front of people every night. She has to go into an altered state of consciousness induced by drugs, alcohol, whatever she uses to get into that altered state of consciousness. And you'll always hear the same common thing, whether it be Lady Gaga or the strippers, that steady beat in the background provided by the music. The music is the common denominator. Every time you go out to eat, what's playing? Music. In your car, what's playing? Music. You're shopping at the mall, what's playing? Background music. Everywhere you go to introduce a football game on TV, music. Carrie Underwood will sing the opening theme song, music. It's always music applied to everything the devil does. You'll never find the devil devoid of music, because music is his forte. He's a maestro. He's a musical master. The devil and music are synonymous. The devil doesn't sing music. The devil doesn't play music. The devil is music. If you look at his design in the book of Ezekiel, you'll find that the devil had musical instrumentation built into him. Read it for yourself. Ezekiel 28 describes the instrumentation built into the devil's very physical being. He was a musical masterpiece. Singing, you couldn't touch him. Instrument, he plays every one. Don't talk to the devil about rhythm. Don't bring up anything concerning music, harmony, syncopation. You can't spot the devil. Don't talk to the devil about anything concerning music. He can sing any note. He can break glass with his voice. He can sing bass. He can sing soprano. He can sing alto. The devil can probably sing all of them at one time. Don't fool around with the devil and music. Music is his very nature. It's what he is. It's not what he does. It's what he is. The devil and music, he never lost the ability. He can still blow your mind with music, because the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. God made him a musical maestro, and he will not take it back. All right, now, so you see now, mesmerization became hypnosis. One branch of the hypnotic effects of this mesmerization was shown forth in the imaginationist, who said that the power of the imagination through autosuggestion could stimulate the imagination, causing you to create your own virtual reality and change your perceptions, change your worldview, change your view of yourself. You could walk around all day and not know it, but you could be in a hypnotic state, brain dead, sleepwalking, and not even be aware of it. You can drive your car like this. You can work all day like this. You can eat like this. You can talk on the phone like this. You can do everything in life having never awakened from a sleepy state. That's why the Bible says, awake thou that sleepeth, and God will give you light. You can be asleep while you're stone cold awake, put into a altered state of consciousness, your mind captivated, and I'm going to show you how in just a minute. A lot of young people, they can remember everything that Nicki Minaj ever rapped, every verse of every Jay-Z song. They can remember everything that Kanye West ever said. And of course, he came out today and said, we are more powerful than the Obamas. We have more influence over the masses than Obama. Referring to whom? Kanye West and Kim Kardashian. This is crazy. Kanye West and Kim Kardashian, according to Kanye West, have more influence over society than the President of the United States and his wife. Kanye West and Kim Kardashian. And you know what? There is a level of truth in that. In that, if you were to get a room full of incapacitated people who are arrested in their development and put somebody in there that can control them, you would basically have a king over people who are incapacitated. So he has influence over a massive amount of people who have been incapacitated and arrested in their development. And he's able to influence people who have basically been cut short in their growth potential. They are stymied and they're stopped at a certain age. Now remember, all this hip hop and rap stuff is basically at the second grade or first grade level telling nursery rhymes. Look at what they're doing. They got a bunch of beats playing with a bunch of guys sitting up talking, like telling nursery rhymes. It has no significance, no importance, it's silly, and it arrests you because it keeps you in a state of underdevelopment in your motor skills. So you get a kid in the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th grade, they got every hip hop song ever made in the history of Earth in their psyche, in their minds. They can repeat it. It comes out of them like a Gatling gun. I mean, they know every word of Lil Wayne's Nutty Mess, every word that Rick Ross has ever rapped, every word that Rocco has ever rapped, 2 Chainz, Waka Flocka Flame. Waka Flocka Flame, ain't that a crying shame? All these folks now, they got all these folks memorized, they got all these folks built into their systems, everything flows out of them like a river from these rap songs, but when they sit down in front of a history test, or a math test, or a science test, or basically just go and try to learn the English language, their minds just shut down. They're not dumb. That's not the problem. They're not intellectually incapacitated. They have been infiltrated by a force that's not interested in math and science and history and social studies. It's not interested in English. It's not interested in whatever is germane to the academic arena. Because these stupefying, weird, crazy, extraterrestrial, demonic beings want to keep the human race subjected to themselves, and the way to keep the human race subjected to the invaders is to make sure the human race maintains that state of arrested development so that your intellect will never challenge them. And you see it all the time in church as people sit there swaying to the sing-song preaching of a guy that's making sure you stay arrested in your development. So then you see people in church have no proclivity, no inclination to study their Bibles, to read, to dig into the meat of the scriptures, to get study tools, concordances, dictionaries, commentaries, Bible helps. They have no inclination to do anything at all. They sit there and take face value what the preacher is saying, but you have been arrested in your development. That's why you like that same melodious, sing-songy preaching that's given to you at the level of a third grader. Tuning up, squalling, and making you get emotional. All that garbage is to make sure you maintain a state of arrested development, incapacitated in your mind, never growing up past the third grade level, so that you'll never see the Wizard of Oz standing in front of you taking all of your money. This is what's going on, real time, in churches everywhere, all day long, every week. You see it happening, and if you bring it up, you get one response from the people who are bound by it and to it. They get angry. Now I'm going to show you tonight why people get angry, what's making everybody so mad, Why, when you walk up to somebody with the gospel, do they get mad at you? You're telling them the truth. You're trying to benefit them. You didn't say anything that should raise any kind of animosity or anger from somebody. Yet you see them transform right before your very eyes into a madman or madwoman, mad at you because you dared say anything about their slavery. You dared bring up the fact that you are arrested in your development. All right. So you see now, the imagination can create a virtual reality. It can make you believe something that's not real, have you walking in it. And you'll be sitting there now, arrested in your development, mesmerized, hypnotized, and your imagination stimulated to create a virtual world. What is going on? How is this happening? We are looking at something that if it wasn't in front of us, it would be hard to believe. All right, I'm going to read a few things for you. Now, I'm going to read from an article here. I'm going to hold it up right here. This is the article that will be available. I'll post it on the Facebook site, and I'll post it there tonight so you can pull down this article. It's 15 pages long, and I'm just going to read. All right, here we go, devil. Here we go. Must be getting to the good part. I'm going to post it on the web page tonight, on Facebook tonight, so that you can pull down copies of this 15-page article, put it down, and take the time to read it and study it. I'm going to read the first 3 pages or so, but read this, and it kind of explains some things to you about hypnosis. All right. This is written by a man named James Kennaway. Says, in summary, music has long been associated with trance states, but very little has been written about the modern Western discussion of music in the form of hypnosis or brainwashing. However, from Mesmer's use of the glass harmonica, now you know what we just talked about, Mesmer is the guy who came up with mesmerization, which became hypnosis, and which put you in a trance-like state. However, from Mesmer's use of the glass harmonica to the supposed dangers of subliminal messages in heavy metal, the idea that music can overwhelm listeners' self-control has been a recurrent theme. In particular, the concepts of automatic response and conditioned reflex have been the basis for a model of psychological, physiological studies in which the self has been depicted as vulnerable to external stimuli such as music. This article will examine the discourse of hypnotic music from animal magnetism and the experimental hypnosis of the 19th century to the brainwashing panic since the Cold War, looking at the relationship between concerns about hypnotic music and the politics of the self and sexuality. Because of the direct physical character of hearing and the fact that one cannot close one's ears, music has long provoked anxieties about personal autonomy. The feeling of losing oneself that is central to musical ecstasy, which means in the Greek to stand outside oneself. Ecstasy means you stand outside of yourself. So it's like you're in you and you step outside of you to enjoy this flight, this ecstatic feeling. Drugs will do that to you. Ecstasy, to stand outside of oneself, can be an exhilarating escape from the confines of ego, but can also be very disturbing, raising complex questions about the porous boundaries of the self and the ability of others to manipulate it. Many physicians, psychologists, and critics have wondered whether its effects can go beyond the powerful group dynamics and behavioral changes related to music in the context of religious ritual and warfare, and actually hypnotize or brainwash an audience. So when Jay-Z has you standing there with that triangle up, waving in the air, paying homage to Jay-Z, everybody swaying in unison, you're in a hypnotic state now. What's creating the power in the arena? A process called synchronization. Everybody listening to the same thing at the same time, Everybody hold up the same sign. Everybody in unison together. Everybody repeating the lyrics out loud as he's singing them, because you've got them memorized, because you had them in your CD or your MP3 all night, every day, in and out, every day, week after week. He's synchronizing the whole concert hall, everybody on one accord, everybody hypnotized, mesmerized, moving into a realm of virtual reality, and you'll make Jay-Z king. What's doing it? The demon that lives in Jay-Z. You have been divided upon by a super demon. A world ruler has now mesmerized you. It's got you there synchronizing the whole arena, getting everybody on one accord, saying the same thing, holding up the same sign, rocking and swaying to the same music and the same beat that everybody in that arena individually has already listened to pre-program you to be susceptible to the sorcerer when the sorcerer goes on his summer concert tour. You're dealing with master witchcraft. You're dealing with sorcerers. You're dealing with diviners of supernatural spirits. And they use the beats in the music as a channel to get into your mind. Let's keep reading. Although most observers now follow French anthropologist Gilbert Rogge's view that the relationship between music and hypnosis and trance is psychosocial rather than physiologically deterministic, over the past 200 years, the idea of musical hypnosis has been the basis of a variety of discourse about music leading to involuntary hypnosis, robbing listeners of autonomy and making them sexually vulnerable. Why do you think all the young girls get turned out? They get turned out because Trey Songz and Drake and Rocco have sang down into them these sexually explicit lyrics. They've been hypnotized. They've been mesmerized. Your daughter's in a trance-like state. She's been driven out of her mind. The real definition of witchcraft is to drive someone out of their senses so that another can take control of them. Witchcraft is about control. Turning these young girls out at 12 or 13 years old as they sit there with those headphones in their ears, feeding on sexually explicit trash that is programming them to be nymphomaniacs. And you come home, a lot of you listen to me right now, you don't even recognize your kids. You're trying to figure out what's wrong with this kid. What happened to the kid that used to be a straight A student? They used to be very proficient in their schoolwork. And all of a sudden, they're acting like Rihanna. They're acting like Nicki Minaj. They're acting like Lil' Kim. They're dressing like Trina. They act like whores. They act like somebody losing their minds. They're losing their minds because something else has taken over their mind. The modern, mostly non-supernatural discussion of music as a hypnotic force goes back to the late 18th century, when the context shifted in Henry Ellenberger's words from possession and exorcism to dynamic psychiatry. You see what used to happen? The power of God used to deal with casting out demons. But casting out demons metamorphosized and became dynamic psychiatry. What does a psychiatrist use? Drugs. What's the word for drugs in Revelation? Pharmakia, which is translated what? Sorcery. Sorcery. Instead of casting the demons out, the drugs create an environment to keep the demons in. Sorcery. By 1800, the combination of the development of mesmer's theory of animal magnetism, new conceptions of the self, and the romantic aesthetics of music created a discourse that portrayed musical mesmeric trances as a threat to the self and to sexual self-control. They realized these mesmeric trances and dealing with mesmer and hypnotizing people were opening people up, a threat to themselves, and they were losing sexual control. Why? Because they were letting the demons in. When you lower your inhibitions, guess what's coming into you? Demons. These associations with sensuality and a loss of self were to become constant themes in the debate on hypnotic music. Even as hypnotism emerged as a more mainstream part of science in the mid-19th century. Crucially, hypnotism and hypnotic music came to play an important part in the emergence of a physiological psychology that regarded the hypnotic state as an automatic phenomenon akin to a physical reflex. So the hypnotic state, an automatic phenomenon that was just like a physical reflex. From the gongs and tuning forks used by Jean-Martin Charcot to induce hypnotic trances to Ivan Pavlov's use of bells to create conditioned reflexes. Now, you know, Pavlov was the one that created the responses in dogs. He would ring a bell and make a dog go eat. He let the dog starve, ring the bell, the dog would then provide the food. He conditioned the response. He rang the bell, the dog knew time to eat. It got so bad, the dog would eat themselves to death because they'd eat in response to the bell even when they weren't hungry. A human can be done the same way. You don't believe it? You don't believe what I'm saying? I dare you, don't do this. Don't do it, but I dare you, but don't do it. Go to a park. Go to any gathering of young people. And all you gotta do is take a CD player, put in the middle of them, turn on Lil Wayne as loud as you can, and watch the little girls begin to start twerking. Watch them begin to start hunching like dogs automatically. The music has created a response in them that whenever they hear it, they begin to gyrate and hunch like a dog. Because the music has made them just like Pavlov's dogs. The music means sex. The music means it's time to get it on. I'm looking for some guy to back it up to and let him slap that old rump of mine so I can twerk the night away like a Great Dane dog, because the music has created a response in me that will make me go into this sexual frenzy every time I hear it. Play with it if you want to. Kid around with it if you want to. And those of you out there who have the audacity to bring that music over here into the church, that filth created by Satan, and come trying to talk about some gospel hip hop, some gangster gospel, and all this other trash, you better go somewhere and come again. The reason why you don't want to let it go is because the demons in you are trying to find some way to accommodate the appetite they have built up in your psyche, and now they've mesmerized you, and now they've transformed themselves into angels of light and told you, now we'll just make it holy hip-hop. We'll make it gangster, no longer gangster rap, we'll make it glorified gangster rap. You can't sanitize feces, man. Feces are feces. You can put salt and pepper and hot sauce on the feces all you want. You can't ingest and digest feces unless something is wrong with you. Get that garbage out of here. Sanctify yourself a fast. Disempower the flesh so we can cast those devils out of you that have contaminated your mind to make you believe you can sanctify that which by nature is unclean and unholy. And I didn't stutter. So Pavlov conditioned the dogs with the bells. The idea of automatic responses to sound, physiologically determined and bypassing the conscious mind, have dominated the debate on musical hypnosis. In this context, music was seen as a potential threat to a self that was susceptible to external stimuli, and therefore as a danger to the self-control that was the basis of sanity for the individual and of order for society. So you see, the music is in the music. The poison is in the music. The strychnine is in the music. Losing self-control, losing self-awareness, decency. Folks would dance like dogs in the street. Women are walking around in short dresses on, not even wearing underwear now. The only thing you got left is somebody butt naked. And when you see Lady Gaga stripped down butt naked on stage, she's giving the green light to everybody to listen to her music. This is the next phase. Butt naked sex on the streets like dogs. You were evolved from an ape, they told you. So why not walk around like a butt naked ape? In the days of Lot and the days of Noah, Sodom and Gomorrah and the days of Noah, is coming like a freight train with your master's degree and your doctorate. You got education, but hey, your education without God just makes you an educated fool. Look at this. As this article will show, this scientific debate about the power of music to overwhelm self-control and leave the listener open to the sinister designs of the hypnotizing musician has proved highly influential in culture, literature, and politics in a number of very different contexts. The first section of this paper will examine the role of music in mesmerism and the experimental hypnotism of the 19th century and its echoes in literature and music criticism. For many observers, the idea of musical hypnosis became the basis of a critique of music's dangers that had considerable resonance with wider concerns about the fragility of social and sexual discipline in a rapidly urbanizing society. The next section will consider 20th century debates on the concept of musical brainwashing, especially in the United States. This discourse drew on the Pavlovian theory of conditioned reflexes to create a scientific and popular discourse about the supposed threat to political and sexual self-control in the Cold War atmosphere of the 1950s and 1960s. After that, I will examine the way that the Cold War debate in turn became the basis for the debate on music and backmasking in the so-called satanic panic of the 1980s and 1990s, which expressed concerns about the hypnotic media and social control in the context not of communism, but of the contemporary American culture wars. Finally, I will consider more skeptical views of musical trance that might provide a better basis for an understanding of modern musical hypnosis than the reductive neurological approach adopted by many of those who have warned of music's mesmeric dangers. Music played an important role in animal magnetism, the techniques created from the 1770s by the German physician Franz Anton Mesmer, that combining fixing patients with a literally mesmeric gaze and a theory of a universal fluid that could be manipulated to bring about health. Mesmer even put iron in liquid and they had people drink it and then hooked up magnets to it to get the flow going in their body. They could feel fluids flowing through them as the magnets were drawing the current in the body liquids to pull the iron around. And he was saying this was used to create this, what he called animal magnetism. What would later come to be called hypnotism seems to have been a significant part of Mesmer's treatments. But it was his first pupil, De Puysegur, who coined the terms magnetic sleep or artificial somnambulism for the hypnotic state. Magnetic sleep or artificial somnambulism. Sleepwalking. Dead, stone cold unconscious while you're awake. For the hypnotic state, often achieved by animal magnetism. Now look at this now. Animal magnetism achieves the hypnotic state. When you're at that concert and Rihanna is there on the stage, that's why she gets naked. She's stimulating animal magnetism. Lust is the animal magnetism, and it will put you in a trance. A guy sits at a strip joint all night long staring at a naked vagina, and he's in an altered state of consciousness, just sitting there in a virtual world, imagining himself to be with that fine-looking 5'8" girl twerk dancing in his face, butt naked, and it's driving him insane. That's why the videos are full of naked twerk dancing girls, thong-clad beauties. That's why the devil always uses naked women. Naked women have a threefold impact on you. You can see them, hear them, and you can touch them. That thing is a heavyweight dividing rod to destroy folks. It's even impacting women and turning the women into lesbians. Why do you think that little 11, 12, 13-year-old girl has lesbian desires? She's been looking at butt-naked Rihanna and Beyonce and Nicki Minaj twerk dance in her face until the animal magnetism is causing her to desire the feminine form, and she sees no distinction in gender any longer. Now you sitting there trying to figure out, why is my daughter like this? It's because the demon in Beyonce is not gender specific. It looks for a victim. And if it wants that girl to idolize Beyonce, it's going to come into her. She's going to fall in lust with Beyonce and then desire other women who have the same body parts as Beyonce. It's the devil's magic, the devil's spell casting. You better hear what I'm telling you. Mesmer regarded animal magnetism as a matter of sympathetic vibration, such just as much as music, and argued that it could be communicated, propagated, and reinforced by sounds. Some contemporaries believe that pianos, violins, and harps, and especially the glands of harmonica that featured prominently in his treatments, were in fact responsible for many of Mesmer's triumphs. The following decades provided many accounts of musical hallucinations experienced by mesmerized patients. Mesmeric cures achieved with the aid of music, and tales of tone-deaf patients developing miraculous musical talents while in a magnetic sleep. Despite these apparent successes, the suspicions of his power over the self and sexual inhibitions that would dominate discussions of hypnotic music were already apparent. The German writer and composer E.T. A. Hoffmann, despite his fascination with uncanny states, expressed concern about animal magnetism. His contemporary, Hegel, likewise articulated fears of involuntary trance states caused by mesmerism, writing that one individual acts on another whose will is weaker and less independent. You get a bunch of young people disenfranchised from broken homes, no father, dysfunctional families, and Jay-Z exploits them because they have a weakened state, because they have no foundation and no identity, and Jay-Z displaces their father by becoming a big-time Mac Daddy hova to them. He's the God MC, and now he stepped in front of God the Father as their God because they had no identity in their home. They had no father to give them a real last name. So now they identify with Jay-Z, and that's why people get so mad about it. You're talking about my daddy when you talk about Jay-Z. I didn't have a daddy. I came from a dysfunctional home. I didn't have any identity. I don't even have a last name. I never even met my dad. And now Jay-Z is rocking me to sleep every night with his stinking, filthy, nasty, degraded, perverse lyrics pumped into my ear, giving me identity, making me part of a family unit. Now I'm hanging around with the Rockefeller crew. I'm one of the people. I belong to something. I've got identity. And it's the devil having displaced your father with this freaked out trash, and you belong. So when somebody comes against your family, when somebody comes against your daddy, you get mad. And now you come and try to claim you know Christ, and you drug Jay-Z with you over here. You brought Kanye West with you. You brought Lil Wayne with you, and now you want God to bow the knee and worship Jay-Z like you. It ain't gonna happen, good buddy. You better leave Jay-Z out there if you wanna come in here. The supposed ability of mesmeric music to overcome the will and make female listeners vulnerable to the immoral advances of the magnetiseur. The magnetiseur, that's a French word, a magnetiseur, is basically just a sorcerer. The music would mesmerize the women, and she would succumb to the advances of the magnetiseur. Was also a widespread concern. Go to any concert. My brother-in-law used to do the security at all the big guys' concerts. Rick Ross, Lil Wayne, Jay-Z, Kanye West. The women are down there with nothing on, no underwear on, trying to give him sex to get to the rappers. I'll give you oral sex, man, back here behind the trailer if you let me get in there. He said those rappers would take those young girls in there, three or four girls at a time, be 20, 30 guys in there running trains on them. And the girls come out laughing and giggling and proud that they were able to lay down with a member of the Cash Money crew. This thing will take you over. You will boast about the fact that you had oral sex with Lil Wayne and you're proud of it. You don't believe it? He's got four or five babies by four or five beautiful women, and they're walking around like they've done something big by laying down with Lil Wayne. Have you seen Lil Wayne? It's nothing personal. He has actually mutilated himself, is what I'm saying. Nobody in their right mind would go somewhere and be sexually involved with a mutilated person, driven mad, drinking syrup all night, high as a kite, smoking dope, smoking cigarettes, driven out of his mind, and you got the nerve to conceive a baby with him? You're in an altered state of consciousness. You got women that travel around this whole United States at the beck and call of these rappers just to have sex with them. They will do anything to these rappers. Oral anal sex, be sodomized by them. They don't care. I just want the rapper to join with me, to give me meaning, to give me identity. You've been mesmerized. Somebody's got to step up to the plate and break the power of these demons.